Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful day out there. A lot of people are going to be doing stuff outside, whether you're playing golf, whether you're cutting the shrubs, doing the grass, picking the weeds. It's going to be a fun day to do it. Beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Bob Pompiani Show. Along with Nick Callis behind the glass and taking your calls at 412-928-9370 and also with the headlines every 20 minutes, we're here to talk sports with you until 1 o'clock today. The number is 412-928-9370. It's also the number of the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. If you go on to Twitter, the station Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. And our show brought to you by PNC Bank. PNC, make today the day and check out Virtual Wallet. It'll save you a lot of stress when it comes to your finances. Also, driven in style by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway, Cochran.com. We have a lot to get into today. Yeah, it's in the middle of kind of a lull week. You know, you're going on. Baseball season is in month number two. The draft is now complete. Hockey playoffs and NBA playoffs continue. So we have a lot to get into, but I want to start with the Pirates and the fact that they are right now in a five-game losing skid. And, you know, the bottom line there is it happens. Toronto, the team that beat them last night, just came off a five-game losing skid. And regardless of who you are in baseball, you're going to go through those. The question is minimizing them. Can they do it? The problem right now, and I'm sure Josh Rountree got into this on Bucco Talk, is that they can't hit. They're leaving too many men on base in that Tampa Bay series. You know, 15-for-4, they were outscored. The runners in scoring position stat was even worse, 1-for-21. And now Tampa, you know, just beat New York Yankees last night again. So they're 27-6. Everything they're doing is right now. They're hitting the ball long, running away with a home run leadership. They also run the bases well. They fundamentally are flawless, it seems, at times, and their pitching's outstanding. So what's not to like about them? And you wonder how big of a hole the Yankees can dig. They're 10 games back. I know it's May the 6th or whatever this is. Oh, it's Kentucky Derby Day. How about that? The 149th running, as I delve off into another topic. But, Nick, do you bet on these things? Do you see, it's difficult for me. This is, to me, a wide-open Kentucky Derby field. Other than Fort or Forte, depending on how you pronounce that horse. Of course. Because some people say Forte. I think in sports we have kind of melted into that use of that word. Technically, in the dictionary, it's Fort. But you would be weird if you said, you know, the Pirates' Fort is their starting pitching.
That sounds strange.
But it's correct, I think. But Forte or Fort, whatever horse, that's the horse.
I know in music there's a Forte or like,
Well, how do you loud. Well, when we talk sports, what do you say? If you said, hey, the Pirates' Fort.
No, I say Forte.
You'd think of McHenry, right? The fort. You wouldn't think of Forte as fort.
Exactly.
Right. So, anyway, do you like a horse in this one?
No, I don't. I'm not a huge sports bettor. So, I usually just try to enjoy the races or any other sporting events. I'm scared because I have bad luck. So, I'm sure I'll lose my money.
Yeah, the longer you bet, the worse it gets. That's the lesson for everyone there. That goes off today a little bit later, and again, it's 19-horse field. It's somewhat wide open based on what we've seen in the past. Anyway, I go back on track, and that's the Pirates. Hitting slump. They're leaving runners on base. They have injury issues now. Andrew McCutchen yesterday before the game twisted his ankle to some degree. We don't know which. He was scratched from the game last night. And we find out Vince Velasquez, who's been one of their most efficient pitchers is now on a 15-day disabled list. You wonder if that's going to be extended. Right elbow discomfort is never something good. We heard that from Mike Burrows. His season shut down. We heard that from, JT Brubaker. His season shut down. Now Velasquez, how long will he be out? He's 4-3, a 3.06 ERA. Really good acquisition in free agency. So now they're going to have to dig deeper into their system and probably come up with somebody, whether that's Luis Ortiz. I don't know that Quinn Priester is ready to go, although his last outing was a good one. Bottom line is they're going to be tested here. And over the course of a season, you would expect that. And we'll see how deep their depth goes in terms of dealing with these sorts of injuries. But the Pirates are still in first place. As you heard Nick say, 20-13, they just keep benefiting by Milwaukee losing, and they blew another lead last night, so they're a game and a half back of the Pirates. Pirates are now 20-13. They were 20-8, and now five straight losses, 20-13. Milwaukee, 18-14. Cubs and Cincinnati, they are what they are. I don't worry about them. But St. Louis is the story of the National League Central. 10-23. They lost to Detroit yesterday. They are in a world of heaping problems right now. 10-23. That's difficult to overcome 13 games right like that. They're 10 games back. I'm not going to put it past them that they can't overcome that because they typically do. Their pitching's been bad. Hitting been erratic. Nolan Arenado got off to a terrible start. So those things will correct themselves, but how much can they dig a hole? How deep can it get before they really can't get out of it? But it's, first couple of months of the season, they go back and forth. We'll see where the Pirates are heading into June. But right now, May's not been off to a good start as they lost five games in a row. We also, have leftover draft talk if you want to get into that as well. Now that the Steelers have pretty much given Matt Canada a whole bunch to work with, how much pressure is on Matt Canada at 412-928-9370? There were excuses, if you want to make excuses, a couple of years ago when Ben Roethlisberger was in his final season and not capable of maybe running the kind of offense that Matt Canada ran. And then last year, of course, you have a conservative approach, which led to Trubisky getting the start at the season. Conservatism may have cost him that start, and then Kenny Pickett comes in and was not, a rookie right off the bat, had to go through some learning curves, which he did, and by the end of the year, the experience is pretty good. And they put together some fourth-quarter comebacks, and you saw more confidence from him in their offense. Now, Kenny Pickett's in the second year. You would expect a massive upturn in his production. And he also has more offensive linemen to deal with because they have just loaded up, not just with Broderick Jones, who was their first-round pick, of course, but in the offseason they brought in Isaac Seumalo, Nate Herbig, and then they bring in the big dude, Darnell Washington. So they have made a conscious effort to get bigger, more physical at the point of attack, which should put Najee Harris under the spotlight. This has got to be the season where he just takes off. And I'm not talking about, 3.9 yards per carry. I'm talking about big-time holes that could be open. This run game should be better, which should help the pass game. So a lot of pressure will be on Matt Canada because this is his third year. He doesn't have a contract beyond this year. And certainly the Steelers need production. They need to score more than 30. I think only twice in his tenure here have they gone over 30 points. That obviously has to change in a league which scores a lot of points. 412-928-9370. This is also, after they play down at Quail Hollow, PGA Championship Week. We could talk a little bit about what you expect from there. It's going back to Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, New York. It was last there 10 years ago. We'll talk about some of the prospects there at 412-928-9370. Board's wide open until 1 o'clock. Let's get to it. We got Jim in Oakmont who joins us right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bob. How you doing? Hey, quick points. One, the Pirates have lost some games, so I don't want to be hypercritical, but I look at that third base position. I look at a guy who can defend really, really well. But with the quality of his at-bats, his lack of power, it's just poor production. And I think I'm happy that Nutting signed a quality player, but I don't know that particular guy is going to help this lineup at all. For that matter.
Well, I think you're right. Ke'Bryan Hayes has got to do better than what he's doing right now. 225, I think, or something in that nature. Last year, for a full year, 244, average 7 home runs. It's one thing to be a Gold Glove winner, and that's great. He is. He's flawless over
right
there. And you need that. He saves runs. He just won the Defensive Player of the Week the month of April, I think it was, for runs saved. That's fine. But at some point, you got to hit. You got to hit with power, a little bit more power than what we're seeing so far. But they gave him that deal, which means he's going to give every opportunity to be out there every single day.
I hope so. I have one more comment, which I know you're going to disagree with, but that's okay. I'm a hockey fan. I don't claim to be a knowledgeable of the integral parts of the game, but I watch it. And as I saw the Penguins, and obviously their talent didn't match their style. So I don't know who to blame. They fired everybody but the coach. But as you look further into these playoffs, the style of play changes immensely because the officials do not blow the whistle. And I don't think the Penguins are constructed as such to deal with those later rounds because of the physicality that's there. And part of that's the lack of the players that they bring in or they got rid of. But secondarily, I don't know how Sullivan escapes any criticism whatsoever of he's playing an Olympic style that doesn't fit once you get in the playoffs.
I do agree. I don't know if he's escaped criticism. He certainly hasn't had the brunt of it. That's gone to the guy who constructed this roster, and that's Ron Hextall. Whether or not that's him or Sullivan or, you know, Brian Burke or anyone else, it still comes down to the GM. So he made those deals. But you're right. The style of play has got to change. And I think if you were to look something, Jim, at a perfect example of that is the Florida Panthers right now. You know, and first of all, the importance of getting in, you don't ever know. But they had a team that won the President's Trophy last year, totally different. They had Jonathan Huberdeau, who's more of a skater, just like Barkov is. They decided to trade one of their superstar players and get a guy back in Matthew Tkachuk, who's totally different in how he plays. He is a guy who goes into physical areas. He can be nasty. He goes to the front of the net, but he's also a sniper. He's an elite player, young guy, 23 years old. They changed their entire roster, not just him, but others, to come in and be different. Now, it took them all season to get to where they are now, I think, and they barely qualified, mostly because of Penguins' generosity. But they decided to change the dynamic, and I think the Penguins would be well advised to do that if they can to some degree. How, I don't know. But you can't come back with the same approach and the same team, essentially, and expect different results.
In the same style. Yeah. I didn't think you agree with that a little bit. Thank you so much. You do a great job.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much. Yeah, the Florida Panthers. Who would have thought now? They eliminated Boston the way they did. But, you know, Boston, you want to talk about it. If you're going to use the word choke, I don't like using that word very often in sports. I don't. Just because I respect athletes, what they do. I think all these teams are gifted. All these teams have. But if you want to use it, it applies, I think, to the Boston Bruins. Number one, they came in with 43 more points than the Florida Panthers, right? Number two, they go up 3-1. 3-1, right, on that series. They get to a game 7. Okay, despite all that, they lead with less than a minute left, and they still can't put it away. I mean, that's right up there. Well, you know, and I've read a lot from Boston newspapers and people on podcasts who were talking about how, is this a bigger failure than what the New England Patriots did when they lost to the New York Giants in that iconic game where Plaxico Burress got the game-winning touchdown after David Tyree got that catch. Which is worse, that or what the Bruins did? Well, I got to say the Bruins. You know, football, that play was just out of the ordinary. It happened. Manning scrambles. He goes to David Tyree. Okay, fine. You know, they're 18-0, fine. The bottom line was, in a one-game scenario, that's something happened there that was really different. This is far worse to me if you're a Boston sports fan. Far worse. The fact that you were up 3-1, the fact that you were, you know, at home for a Game 7, leading with less than a minute left, you still couldn't shut down Florida, and they end up winning. Now, Florida's gone on to win the first two with Toronto. So Toronto, which is facing all these years of no production whatsoever in the postseason. Last championship there in 1967. How are they going to dig themselves out of this? We will see. It also helps that Bob Roski's played some of the best hockey of his playoffs. All of that is important. 412-928-9370. Let's go to the counselor who joins us in the car. What's up, counselor?
How you doing, Bob?
I'm good.
I just wanted to comment. I was at the game last night, and, you know, it's one thing to be aggressive on the bases. It's another thing to be, let's put it mildly, stupid. And not trying to steal third base by G1 Bay was really not a smart move.
Well,
you know?
I didn't like that first one only because there was a left-hand hitter up. The throw to third was a little easier. But I'm not going to criticize their aggressiveness. I want that, don't you?
Yeah, but aggressiveness is one thing. but you don't want to take a bat out of, like, Carlos Santana's hands. And, you know, that play, and then Santana kind of almost followed it up, trying to go first to third, and you're down a couple of runs, you know? You got to pick your spots. How do I say that? You know what I mean?
No, I understand, but at the same time, Jiwon Bae had been largely successful, 13 out of 14. I'll take my chances. He stole second. He was trying to get to third. Okay, didn't work. Now, I didn't like, but again, this is aggressive base running. When Castro got thrown out to the plate, I really don't have a problem with that play at all. I know people do, but, you know, it took a perfect execution to get him.
Well, I didn't have a problem with that play. I'm talking about the one where Bae tried to steal third, and then what's the other? Yeah.
They had two guys thrown out at third last night and a guy thrown out at home. I get it. When you don't score because you have no offense, everything is magnified.
Right. Well, I understand that too, but just to me, you got to, again, it's smart baseball. All I'm trying to say is, you know, at some point, G1 Bae's got to say, well, wait a minute, I'm at second. This is not going to do, it's not going to make the bigger difference, but if I'm taking the bat out of at least a halfway decent hitter's hands, you know?
Yeah, it's early in the game, you know? Though. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I get what you're saying. I think it's always up for second guessing when it doesn't work, and especially when they haven't gotten a hit, a meaningful hit in a week, you know? So all these things pile up, and that's where they are. But the good thing is the rest of the division is not doing anything either, so they're still in first place. Counselor, appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, you have a good day. Hey, listen, we round out here on my show. We talk about everything, and that would include NBA. So if you have an NBA, I watch a lot of NBA, and last night what I saw from Boston and how they defended Joel Embiid was very interesting. You know, he's the MVP of the league, deservedly so, based on how he played this year. But also, they did something that most teams don't do in the NBA, is they decided to shut him down by committee. They had all sorts of players going after him, making it really hard on Embiid to get a decent kind of shot off, or the rim game that he has was somewhat neutralized, which put emphasis on other players, and James Harden did not come through for them, and so Boston wins that series, or wins that game, up 2-1. But I wonder now, you know, everything's a copycat league, if other teams later in the playoffs, if Philadelphia survives the series, will use that same strategy. Because it was very effective last night in that game. Also last night, Denver is on the losing side of a Phoenix game. Devin Booker went off, as that series now 2-1. So we'll talk about all that and more. Interesting stuff beyond the Florida-Toronto series now. Edmonton-Vegas, that goes on tonight, game two. We saw something last week that we have never seen really before in the NHL playoffs. We'll talk about that when I come back. Want to get more of your phone calls at 412-928-9370. And a reminder, once again, our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochrane. Go one better, ride in style. With 24/7 shopping on Expressway at Cochrane.com. We'll do all that when we continue. This is the Bob Pompiani Show on a beautiful Saturday here in Pittsburgh. Back right after this. All right, we're back with more here. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Bob Pompiani with you until 1. Nate Callis is taking your calls and provides the headlines for you at 412-928-9370. Our show brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Always tell you about PNC Bank. They make it simple on you. If you're somebody like me who can't add or subtract regularly and you have like still one of these recorder books that you use, I have both. I have the app, but I also use that just because. It makes it a lot easier, and it corrects all my mistakes. So check out Virtual Wallet on PNC Bank. Number one, Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. 19 different places to go. Number one, Cochrane is big, massive, and because of that, they can help you out in any of your, riding needs, whatever it may be. Check out Number one, Cochrane. Big thank you to Shendorovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Also, Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call 7 nights a week on Pittsburgh's CW and simulcast right here on The Fan many times as well. And Iron Rock Tap House, if you ever want a great place to watch sports and have some great beverage and dinner, whatever you have, casual or more elegant, they have it all at Iron Rock Tap House. All right, back to the lines we go at 412-928-9370. Troy in Mount Washington is our next caller. What's up, Troy? Hello, Troy, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, how you doing today?
Good, thanks.
What a beautiful day. First, just a comment on Pirates and then a question on NBA. For Pirates, out of the major sports, I think we could say that the manager in baseball is the least important when it comes to head coaches, when it comes to someone who's organizing the team. You can find your way throughout a baseball game more than you can find your way throughout the other three top professional sports. But I think when it comes down into crunch situations and you have a team now that is competing and you're going to be in a lot of games that are between one and two runs, this is where we're really going to see where the manager is and the calls that he's making. Sometimes, you know, we get on Tomlin about his in-game stuff, his challenges, his stuff within the whistle, nothing outside we challenge. But I'm really interested to see, now that we are competing a little bit more, how much more he's going to make a difference in a game than he would otherwise and in previous years when we were not close.
I think that's fair, but I still think NFL coaches have the biggest decisions on their hand. It's played out nationally on every game. Sometimes in baseball, you don't see every single game, so you're not really sure. You go by wins and loss records, so I may never watch a game that involves the Detroit Tigers, but if they're doing well, you credit the manager. So you don't see nuts and bolts. Here, you're right. Now, I think like anything else, the expectation level gets higher when you start winning. Therefore, more eyes are on the game. Therefore, more decisions become big.
Yes, and for NBA, I mean, how fun is this? It feels like all the stars are equally distributed. It feels like any team has a chance to win in any round. But what I'm really looking at is moving forward. With them firing the Milwaukee Bucks coach, what is Giannis going to do? And with them doing nothing important, what is Damian Lillard going to do? What are these two stars, what franchises do you see them possibly moving to or possibly joining now that their franchises are not coming through for them and not doing what they want? Giannis was just saying how it wasn't the coach's fault and how he was doing a good job, and a week later he was gone. I mean, I love Giannis to Miami. I think that would be great for them, getting Bam out of there and just bringing Giannis in. But where do you see these two stars in the next 3 years, 2 years, getting to?
Well, both of them have one thing in common, Troy, and that is they both like where they are. I mean, Lillard could have done a lot of things, but he chose to stay there. Same with Antetokounmpo, and they won a championship not too long ago, so I don't think you should forget about that. That's hard to do. But you're right. Again, expectations rise no matter who you are. So I think, if I'm going to guess, I think Giannis, Miami's a good, interesting choice, maybe. But there are a couple of other teams that I think may stumble into this. And one of them would be Brooklyn. And the only reason I say that is, you know, they made a trade and they got some nice assets back in return for Durant. And Durant frustrates me sometimes. As good as he is, he keeps moving around like, you know, some.
I mean, he's not playing well.
He missed a lot of shots. You know, he drove to the basket last night, but he's going to be judged on whether or not they win a championship in Phoenix, because he's like a vagabond in many ways. He and Harden go all over the place, and okay, if you're going to play that game, you better win.
Kevin Durant's one of the all time great players, but this isn't the first time that he's gone on to a team where he isn't the number one guy. And I hate to say it, but Devin Booker on this team is the number one guy. He may not be the better player all around, but when it comes to how they run their offense, especially if Chris Paul's out, Devin Booker, it goes through Devin Booker and Kevin Durant gets his points. Just like it went through Steph Curry and then Kevin Durant got his, he's in a very similar position. I just think it's difficult for him to jump onto that role and be in that role. I mean, he had Clay and a little other support there, but when it comes to Phoenix, it's Devin Booker's team.
This is why he's always going to be looked at as somebody who is not the centerpiece of a franchise. They won two rings together when he was with Golden State. Fine. He decides he wants out of there, goes to Brooklyn. Well, the expectations were to win there. That didn't happen. So now he's in Phoenix. Even if they win there, it won't be because of him, most likely. Sure, because of Devin Booker. And I think he's also had a negative impact on DeAndre Ayton, who doesn't know how to play with him and is just offensively not anywhere near what he once was. And he needs to be better player for them if they're going to have a chance to win anything this year, I think.
Yeah, their team concept has kind of gone out the window. You see a lot of one-on-ones with them, and it's meant to be a one-on-one, but only Devin Booker one-on-one, not to try to spread it around and do multiple one-on-ones.
Right. No, I get it. And it's going to be an interesting offseason considering, where a lot of these guys may want to get out. And we've seen in the NBA more than any place, you can determine your future by how you even a guy like Giannis, who's very respectful to the game, I think respectful to people in Milwaukee. He likes being there. But if he gets to the point where he gets frustrated, you can see him, you know, put into motion something that leads to his exit. And
I say the same thing about Dame. I mean, I think he's so underrated. I think that if he goes to a team with the right coaching and the right players around him and a good organization, I mean, I root for the guy. I really like Damian Lillard. I always have. I just think, you know, he made that decision maybe about 2 years ago where he was like, you know what, I'm here. I'm in Portland. I'm going to show you guys that, you know, I'm going to be here for a couple more years. But it doesn't mean he's going to finish his career. And I think Giannis did the same thing. Now they got rid of his coach. You know, there's some moving parts around him. The guys that were contributing for them to win that title, they're not who they were anymore. They're just getting to a point where they're not the same team. So if they're not going to do something big time or make a move or pull some people out, I would love and absolutely love to see Jimmy Butler and Giannis together.
That would be interesting. And they also have some shooters. You know, Tyler Hero's out with injury. Duncan Robinson has played more as a result of that. They've gotten some. They have some pieces down there, and I also really think
I love
highly,
Duncan Robinson. I mean, Duncan Robinson.
Spoelstra is one of the most underrated coaches in my book. He seems to always
He's top three in the league.
Yeah, he always does what he has to do to get a team that not many people think can, you know, compete at that level, to compete and win at that level many times. Troy, thanks. I appreciate the NBA talk. Have a good day. 412-928-9370. I mean, if you watch it, it's very entertaining. I've said that all along. I know people will say, well, they take too many steps. Well, there's no defense. There is a lot of defense, to be honest. You got to watch it to understand and appreciate it. But the shot clock makes it high intensity offense too. And you got to be in great shape to play, in that league. 412-928-9370. I want to tell you about Live Nation Concert Week. Kicks off on Wednesday, May the 10th at 10 a.m. with $25 tickets available on many of the hottest Live Nation shows coming to Pittsburgh this summer. Kick off the concert season with the best deal around for your favorite shows before they sell out. Details at 937thefan.com. Also, I want to tell you about The Fan wants you to visit your youth baseball and softball teams in action with Pittsburgh Pirates parents and coaches. Send an email to the station at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your team 12 and younger. 937 The Fan may be making a stop to see your game or tournament, brought to you by Living Treasures of the Laurel Highlands. 412-928-9370. So with regard to the Steelers, how optimistic are you that they can compete? A lot of people around the NFL, experts, believe they can compete. Give me your order of finish. I know it's May the 6th, and I'm not suggesting you're making a prediction, but if you want to talk about how this stacks up now that Lamar Jackson is back with Baltimore, heading into the OTAs, a lot of shifting of personnel. The AFC is loaded with so many good quarterbacks. It's going to be hard to really come out of there with so many elite quarterbacks, you think. So how do you feel about the Steelers and their chances of getting to the playoffs in 2023? It's 412-928-9370. Beautiful day on Saturday here in Pittsburgh. Get out and enjoy. There's a lot going on. I'm sure you're going to have some stuff around the house to do. I know we do. And that's how we'll spend most of the day. But if you're golfing, if you're doing other stuff, enjoy it. And it's supposed to be in the 70s for the next several days, which is good. After the week we just had, we have fan weather coming up a little bit later in this program. In the meantime, thank you to PNC Bank. PNC, make today the day. Number one Cochran shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. And we have guys who've waited on the line for a while, so let's get right to the phone lines, shall we, Nick? Let's go to Bill, who joins us in Charleston. Bill, what's up?
Yes, sir. I'm from Charleroi, not Charleston.
Oh, well, that's I was going to say you traveled a long distance in a short period of time.
Yes, sir. I have a question about the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
Does the Live Tour have anybody in there that qualifies right now?
At this point, I think they're not going to be involved in that, the Live golfers.
Okay, and do you ever see a time where they will challenge to put a team in the Ryder Cup?
I think ultimately, Bill, there'll be a time when they have to settle their differences here somehow, some way. Because too many of the star players who are major contributors, like, for example, Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka, at the Masters, it was Mickelson who shot a final round 7-under to compete, and Koepka had the 54-hole lead only to lose out to Rahm. These are good players who play their best in majors, it looks like to me. You want to have them, and the majors will have them in their field. Like, these guys are involved at the PGA Championship this week coming up at Oak Hill. So at some point, they're going to have to figure out something. I don't know when But the PGA is pretty staunch on its belief that they don't want those guys on for now. But I got to believe something is going to transpire in the next year or two.
Yeah, I would think so, too, because they do have some awful good players over there. I mean, that used to be here. And I really don't understand the PGA not wanting these guys in any tournament at any time.
Well, I think the PGA Tour is upset with how they, you know, for years, Greg Norman, Mickelson, and others have wanted some sort of unionization of this tour, the PGA. So, because, listen, you're an individual contractor as it is right now, and if you don't win a lot, it's hard for you to survive week to week. And they wanted to do something with, you know, health care and all these other things that doesn't exist. And they also knew that if they went away from it, that they can jack up the, you know, the purses every week, which they thought were under what they should be. And it was interesting that once these guys made a commitment to go to LIV Golf and got all this money, all of a sudden the purses on the PGA Tour just exploded. So right. They would ask, where'd that money come from?
Yeah, I can see that too. Yeah,
but whatever. I mean, it's an ugly situation for now. But there are a number of good players on the PGA Tour, even without those elite players on the LIV Tour, that to me makes it competitive.
Yes, sir, I definitely agree. But I was thinking, like, the European Tour would say, I would like to have Sergio or Cam Smith, but that's not going to happen then.
No, until they settle all this, that's not going to happen. And, again, the LIV Tour is kind of out of sight, out of mind. If you don't have them watching on a CW network, you're never going to see any of their stuff. On Facebook, it doesn't work. I don't like their format, a 54-hole shotgun starts, all of that. As a golfer, I don't want to see that. That's good for a scramble event at a local charity like the one I have coming up in June at Chartiers Country Club for Partners for Quality. That's fine. That's how you get people through the day. But to have it as a shotgun start, it's hard for people to follow that, I think, Bill.
Yeah, I understand. Well, thank you for your time, sir.
Yeah, thank you. From Charleroi. Let's go to Mike in Avalon, unless that's Atlanta. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Bob, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
Hey, you asked about the Steelers and how we're feeling about them this year. And I can't help but feel that, you know, the starting talent as well as the depth on the team has dramatically improved. You look at them having a third-place schedule and, you know, the divisions that they get to match up against. I think that, you know, if you look at splitting with the division, just even at 3-3 of splitting with the division, which I think they can do better than that, and then you look at the rest of their matchups, I can see 10, 11, maybe even 12 wins for this team. I'm serious. The job that the front office did to upgrade both the offensive and defensive lines, and like I said, the amount of depth and talent and starting talent that they added through free agency in the draft, I think you have to be extremely optimistic about this team next year. They look like they can actually compete and honestly contend.
Well, I think, Mike, you should go down to the Rivers Casino, because right now the over and under, I think, is 8.5.
I would take 9.5 or 10.5, honestly.
Yeah, because if that does happen, you could be in the money for that. But listen, it's still a very competitive division. Like, when you look at it, I think Cincinnati still is the ultimate team that people are going to pick, and deservedly so. They've been to the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row, and they got Joe Burrow just getting better with weapons. However, after that, I think Cleveland is not in position to be a contending team, even with Deshaun Watson, and I don't know what he's going to be. He may be slightly better than last year, which was not good, or massively better, but even so, they don't have enough weapons, in my view. I think the Steelers and Ravens will compete for the second spot. And the bigger question for me is, can they score more than 30 points? Last year, they only did it once, and sooner or later, even if you're physical and you have a run game, that they want to focus. And one of the reasons why they turned a 2-6 start into a, you know, 7 wins at the last 8 or whatever it was, is because they got back to that. If they can do that and add a, you know, a second year quarterback like Kenny Pickett to the pass game and make that pass game better because of the running, I think they could be a very dangerous team to play. But can they score a lot of points if need be, if the defense fails? They only did it once last year, and they've only done it twice in 34 games under Matt Canada.
TJ's got to stay healthy, and they got to take the ball away too. They got to be an opportunistic defense that creates short possessions for the offense. I didn't see as much of that until he came back last year, you know, missing him for that first half of the season. He's a catalyst for, you know, for turnovers and therefore short fields and points. I think that if the injury bug kind of got them with, you know, one of the best players in the league last year, if you could, you know, have him and, you know, miss at most two or three games this year, man, he's such a difference maker. But I really appreciate you taking my call. And, you know, Lamar Jackson is 2-3 in his career versus the Steelers. You know, I'm happy for him. I actually went to the University of Louisville, so I'm very happy that he got paid. But, you know, I'll take the Steelers' chances against the Ravens this year, and I think it's going to come down to the Steelers and the Bengals. And I really appreciate your time, and thanks
Thank
for taking
you,
my call. You have a good weekend.
I think that contract's a tough one for Baltimore. And that's the beauty of having Kenny Pickett on a rookie contract. And if they can make things happen in the next year or two, they will have some money to spend, and they already have demonstrated that they will spend it on certain things. So, you know, but the Steelers, if they're right about Kenny Pickett, they chose him 20th when nobody was taking quarterbacks, even though there were a lot of quarterbacks in last year's draft available. He was the only one to go until mid-third round when Willis was there, and now he may be on his way out after 1 year, shockingly enough. But they'll be so ahead of the curve when it comes to trying to go from one established Hall of Fame quarterback transitioning to a next one. And I'm not saying that Kenny Pickett's going to be that. What I am saying is that he could be the guy. And boy, have they limited the time searching. Unlike a team like Indianapolis, which had to go through veteran after veteran after money after money. Finally, they do something about it this year. But, you know, the Steelers could have really sped up the process, I think. Let's go to Chuck, who joins us in Rankin. Chuck is on line 3. Hello, Chuck. Now you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Bob. How you doing? Commenting on about the state of the Steelers next year.
Go ahead. What do you think?
How they're going to be improved, and I'm not sold on Cincinnati. I don't think they're as good as everyone thinks. So I think Steelers have a good chance. I think they might win the division. They're going to get that running game going. They fortified the lines. We already have a good defense. If we have a little bit of luck and stay healthy, I think we're good to go.
What don't you like about Cincinnati? Everything I see about them, I really like.
I don't know. It's just like a feeling. It's nothing in particular. I just don't think that they're going to hold up and be supercharged the whole year, you know?
Well, the AFC in general, though, with all these quarterbacks, if you went to the NFC and look at what they have available, then not many, you know, guys who are going to say, well, this guy is going to lead you to a championship. A lot of ifs there. In the AFC, how many elite guys do you have in all these divisions? And it'll be tough just getting through that if you're another defense in the AFC. But I think the Steelers are going to be better prepared to come after quarterbacks and stop the run. They didn't do that as well as they needed to do. And when you can run the ball, especially with an elite quarterback, you can have a lot of opportunities in the pass game, which stresses your secondary.
Yeah, we can get that play-action pass, and if we can shorten the game by running it. If you remember that one game from going back old school here to 1984, it was one of the best games I've ever seen. San Francisco was undefeated. It was a championship year for them. Chuck Noll went out there. Frank Pollard banged out 100 black and blue yards. And Steelers upset Frisco out in Candlestick in 84. Shortened the game. That was an awesome game.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, people talk about how this game has evolved, and it has. It's become a pass-happy league. I get it. But if you still can run the ball, San Francisco, when they got under Garoppolo, you know, deep into the playoffs to the Super Bowl, what did they do? They ran the ball more than they threw it. He was not really the factor of their offense. Even now they picked up McCaffrey, you know, and he's an all-purpose kind of dude. He can do everything with all their array of talent. Even a guy like Sam Darnold goes there. I wouldn't be surprised if Sam Darnold is their starter this year in San Francisco, and he does well because the system is set up that way. I think the Steelers, and more than anything, this puts an emphasis on Najee Harris, even more so maybe than the quarterback. Because if they're going to commit to this run game, which they have, with all these, you know, drafting of Broderick Jones, and they brought in, say, Amalu, they brought in Nate Herbig, they got depth on that offensive line. It tells me, and not to mention Darnell Washington, who's looked at as the best blocking tight end, they want to be physical. And that means Najee Harris has got to take advantage of it. So this is a big year for him.
Now, I think he's going to do good, and we still got the pass weapons when we need to pass. I think we're good to go, and it was good talking to you, Bob. Thank you.
You too, Chuck. Let's go to Jordan in Morgantown, West Virginia. Hey, Jordan, what's up?
Bob, first of all, it's a travesty that Jokic is not the MVP. The man almost averaged.
I always vote. He's had two of them. I think he was right in the conversation, but I think Embiid, I mean, how do you discount what he was able to do?
I don't disagree to an extent, but I don't think anybody is important to their team as Joker is. He came off the floor last night. They were down one. He was out of the game for 5 minutes. They're down 20. He just means so much to that team. But it's great. I'm sure you've been paying attention to the playoffs. big market team, so I'm sure the NBA is happy. But it's kind of cool to see some of these old rivals, like growing up with the Heat and the Knicks. You got the Lakers and Golden State. A lot of fun teams, but who do you see coming out? I don't know if I see a clear-cut winner here, Bob.
Well, I like Sacramento. They let me down in the last game against Golden State. I thought they had the kind of offense that could keep up with that team. So, I mean, Denver, to me, is still the best team with Jokic in playing. He has to play a lot, but you're right. The fact that he goes out and they just collapse makes you wonder if they can sustain it, if he gets in any sort of foul difficulty. So, I'm looking still at Golden State as the team now that's left that's the most dangerous. I still think Denver should be favored if they meet head-to-head, those two teams, because I do think it'll be Denver and Golden State now. Although the Lakers, you know, the Lakers found out the other day that they still have to be able to shoot. You can't just work it inside all night long in the paint and expect to beat Golden State when they're going to fire up 53s a game and make, you know, 45% of them.
Right. Any team that can score that many points that quickly is just too dangerous, especially in the playoffs. So I don't know if I have somebody that I really want. I just want it to continue to be a pretty good playoff. So I just figured I'd touch base with you and see if you weren't enjoying them. So thanks, Bob.
I have. And thank you, Jordan. And I think the Boston Celtics are for real. They're a team. And again, I like the way they played defense last night on Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is a guy who he can hit. They made it really difficult him all over him with multiple guys, which left other people open. And those other people didn't do what they were supposed to do. We got more coming up. 412-928-9370 is the number. Thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Thank you to number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. We have another hour of phone calls, so call now. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's at KD Pump. We'll do that as well. But right now it's time for Fan Weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Is SUV month. Come out and check Trailblazers, Equinox, and all the new redesigned 2024 Trax and online at sunchevy.com. Today, beautiful day in Pittsburgh. High of 73 degrees. Keep the windows open at night. Low of 43. Mostly sunny skies. Tomorrow, high of 70. There is a 60% chance of a thunderstorm at some point of the day. Pirates will play an afternoon game tomorrow. They play a night game tonight. It's fireworks night over at PNC Park as they try to get some fireworks in their offense. It's been shut down the last week or so. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we got more. We have a shifting of the guard here, not unlike with the coronation of King Charles today. This is going to be even more regalia-filled with Nick Callis leaving. I should capture this on video, right? Do you think I should do that, Nick?
You should. It's an occasion.
It is. And Joel Nelson taking over. He now gets the throne. He'll get the coronation, and you'll go out and do whatever you want to do the rest of the day, because you've been here since the early morning, right?
Yeah, but I'll be here back for the Pirate game. I got the Pirates Radio Network
tonight.
That's
right. That's coming up later today. You can hear it as they get set to take on the Blue Jays in game number 2 of this series. We'll be back with the second hour. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.